E1.
Number 5A.
All right. I would like to try out, like Jesus was talking in parables and so on, I would like to give you here an illustration which is easy to see what difference it makes to have the same bundle of data and consider it first from an atomistic point of view and then second from a structural point of view. Just to show what structure does without really adding any new data, structure can give understanding, deep insight. So we will read together this thing here, which I have taken from a book called The Productive Thinking by Max Wertheimer. Max Wertheimer lived here in America. He came from Europe, and he was one of the fathers of Gestalt theory and Gestalt psychology. And on the Gestalt psychology naturally rests and has emerged structure and structuralism. So he is quite a well-known capacity on that field. And so we read now this text in an atomistic way, and I read it with you. I was visiting a family. We do that here and there. The daughter of the house came home and was introduced to me. Okay. Her father asked how she had spent the day. She answered that there had been a good deal of work, but that she was fine. We can understand that up to now, huh? It's a very easy language. I asked, are you working? Yes, she answered, I'm working with a firm. Is it a big place? Well, she said, there are a number of people in the office. We still understand the story. I have to do directly with Mr. A, a Mr. B, and a Mr. C, who often come to my desk, ask questions, bring me letters, etc. There are others in the office with whom I do not have to do directly. Mr. A has dealings with Mr. D, and Mr. B with Mr. E, and Mr. C with Mr. F. D and E also have dealings with each other. So do E and F. Let me see, that makes 6 people in the office besides myself. Do you know now how that works in that office? Oh. Huh? And she has given all the dates. You are absolutely bewildered. Huh? I asked, are you the boss? Oh, no, she answered. Do you give orders to anyone? You see, he asked now about relationships. Oh, yes, I sometimes give orders to Mr. A and to Mr. C. I get orders from Mr. B, and D gets them from Mr. E, Mr. E from Mr. B, and Mr. F from Mr. E. She was apparently logically minded and was trying to tell the whole story. I was somewhat disturbed. I guess the reader is too, aren't you? You have the faintest idea what that office is all about, huh? Oh, but I have told you everything, the whole bundle of data. She answered, nevertheless, I was in the dark. Now here you have a text as you can read it in the Bible, as you can read it in the textbook, as you can read it somewhere. It says everything that is true about that problem, everything. And yet you don't know anything. You don't have a picture, you don't have now a whole picture, what is really happening in that office. So you see a atomistic presentation of a situation doesn't yield understanding, doesn't yield insight. In other words, what we see that if you would tell us the story structurally, and we will go and do it afterwards. If she would have told the story structurally, we would know at once what's going on. She has not hidden from us any truth. She has told all the truth. So can you see that relationship, which is an immaterial principle, has within itself a great order of understanding? So that if we have, say, the science of being, and we just consider the Bible and the textbook as a lot of data, each statement a statement, but without any structural relationship, it may not yield very much. So what we have to do is to structure this story. I will try to do it, and we can only do it by really making various steps to get nearer to the truth of that whole thing. So let's try and do it. Perhaps you can do it on the rest of your paper or wherever you want. You need about three different ways. One first one, second, and then a third one. So just have enough room, or if you do it in your notebook, then it's okay. So we will take the same text and structure it. So we go over the same text there from the line 6, where she really begins to relate the facts. Are you ready for a drawing? Let's call the secretary who tells I, let's call her the ego, so that we have a name for her. The others have name A, B, C, D, E. So that secretary, which we may call here the ego, is saying what? And we read it. I have to do directly with Mr. A, a Mr. B, and a Mr. C. So we can see what she's telling is that she has directly to do with three people. And that is the A, and the B, and the C. That's what she's telling. See, now we begin to structure it. Who often come to my desk, ask questions, bring me letters, etc. There are others in the office with whom I do not have to do directly. See, now she gives a relationship, namely that she doesn't have to do directly. Therefore, it would not go out from the ego direct. She says, Mr. A, this one here, has dealings with Mr. D. Mr. B, with Mr. E, so I can put it here, and Mr. C with Mr. F. Can you still follow? Yes? Then full stop. Then she says D and E down here, D and E also have dealings, so they also have a relationship with each other. And so do E and F, like this. So we have done the first step in structuring. Can you see? Or did I make a step too quick? Yeah. But still we don't know really how the situation is. But we have come nearer. So we go over it again and ask ourselves, let's see the whole story again, but with the definition of what kind of relationship there are. Up to now, we only have these straight lines saying that there are relationships, but we have not yet shown what kind of relationship. If it's a relationship of receiving or giving orders, or not giving and not receiving and not giving orders. All that is still unexplained. So let's take a further diagram, and we put the ego again here. We go out from the ego and go through the same text again. I have to do directly with Mr. A, and we put it this way just to help you, with Mr. A. I have to do directly with Mr. A, and Mr. B, let's put it this way, just because it's B, and Mr. C, who often come to my desk, ask questions, bring me letters, etc. There are others in the office with whom I do not have to do directly. Mr. A has dealings with Mr. D, B with Mr. E, and C with Mr. F. D and E have dealings with each other, and so E and F, like this. Let me see, that makes six people in all. Now, we go on, now comes the relationship. I ask, are you the boss? Oh no, she answered. Do you give orders to anyone? And now comes the direction of relationship. Oh yes, I, the ego, sometimes give orders to Mr. A. So we put with an arrow the direction of relationship. She gives order, E gives order to Mr. A and to Mr. C. So I put the arrow in here. So that I know which way of relationship there is. I get orders, you see now, I get orders from Mr. B. So the arrow is here, where B gives order to the ego. Mr. D, up here, gets them from E. He gets them from E, so the arrow is up here. And Mr. E from Mr. B, so the arrow is from B to E, down here. Can you still see it? Yeah. Mr. B. And Mr. F gets orders from Mr. E. F gets orders from Mr. E. And so we have really stated all the qualitative sense of relationship. And now, having seen that, yes, let me see if I can put it on the rest of this here. Now you can see, when you consider this one, you can see now something, that the only one that does not receive orders, the only one that only gives orders, must therefore be the boss, the highest. And the only one that there is Mr. B. He only gives orders. So we get the B as the boss, who gives orders. B gives orders to ego and E. So he has two people underneath him, namely ego and E. Can you see that? When you consider ego here now, at this point here, you see that ego gives orders to A and C, so they must be under the ego, further down. So you get two things here, namely A and C. And if you take Mr. E here, E, he gives orders to D and F, so he gives orders to E and F. He gives orders to F and D. Is See? To D and F. And those who do not give orders to each other, neither receive nor give, are C and F. So they are not in the same way related. So we put them just in dots here. They must be of equal importance, just exchanging informations and so on. And so suddenly you get here the structure of that little office. Hmm? And what you get is, so to say, a hierarchical order, where you see the boss is B, that's the hierarchical order 1, he's the boss. He has under him ego and E, that's the second level in the hierarchy of that office. And then you have the third hierarchy of A, C, F, and D. Is it clear enough? Yeah, I put it. Yeah, like this, huh? So now you have the story. Huh? Now it's structured. You have now. We have not added one single data. We have the same bundle of data, but we have put the relationships right and in order, and so. This girl should have come home and should have said to the visitor, when he asked, what are you doing and how is it, is the firm? She should have said, well, in our firm, B is the boss and he has two assistants. One assistant is me and the other is the E. And I have under me two other assistants or help, namely A and C. And my colleague E has an assistant F and D. Okay. And then everybody would have known what's happening. This is talking in parables of the modern times instead of mustard seeds and the prodigal son and things like that. You take the symbolism of structure and structuralism. And you can see that structure, what we have been doing here, that structuring a situation means getting understanding, insight, deeper insight, a clear situation. And that's really what structure and structuralism wants to show. So say, if we have, say, a text, like the textbook, you can read it either the way the secretary was telling about the whole textbook, here a statement, there a statement, until finally you have all the statements of the textbook spelled out, or you can also present the textbook as structure. But when you present something as structure, you have seen it now with this example, and that's the only purpose and value of this example, just to show that the moment we look at something in a structured way is understanding. Therefore, structure is understanding. Structure consciousness is a consciousness that understands. It isn't just something, but it has directly to do with the ability of man to understand more clearly, more orderly a subject. So what we want to do during the whole week is really to consider the signs of being in a structured way. Structure means to see hierarchies. Here we have, in this case, we have three hierarchies, which I showed here, and through making those hierarchical orders, you can much more easily see what the problem really is. Well, I think this is the point where I want to stop and in the afternoon go on with that whole question of structuralism. We just want to continue for a few moments in regard to structures, because in the literature of the last few years, we really find great information as to this new concept in science, and which is such a big help in our understanding of the textbook. For instance, one American writer who is interested in structures says the following, which may be very indicative of what we are doing. He says, it would be sound practice to envision at the limit the program of a universal code of structures. See, the program of a universal code of structures, which would allow us to deduce them from one another by means of rules of transformation. I think this is quite a key sentence or proposition, because it shows that fundamentally they feel that because the science of structure belongs to every science, therefore is a interdisciplinary movement. You know what I mean with interdisciplinary science? A science that belongs to every discipline, to every science that is taught at the university. That they feel because this science of structure is that bridge between all the sciences, there should be really a program of a universal code of structures. And one feels that if one knows Mrs. Eddy's great fundamentals of the capitalized terms and the way John Dolley has shown them in the chart, that really we have found the most universal program of codification. Because actually, we can deduce from that chart the answer, really, to every fundamental question. So that what they are really seeking for is, I think, what we have. Because if we can think spiritually in the way of structure, then we can deduce from the one big structure all the substructures, no matter on which level we are thinking and contemplating any problem. But as they say, it would need rules of transformation. And this is a big point, to find these rules of transformation. And most writers on structure really say that they don't know the rules of transformation. But we can at once see that really what Mrs. Eddy has presented in the scientific translation of Immortal Mind is really giving us the fundamental rules of translatability, so that actually we can see that the divine principle of the Infinite One can really be translated infinitely to the point of every idea, not only to every point of every idea, but also to the point where every idea is taking care of every illusion. So that we have actually in science and in the textbook that law of transformation for which structuralists are really looking out. I just point these things out to show the magnitude of the task we are doing, because we are not just thinking about some detailed aspect of being and of existence. We are really thinking about the most fundamental questions that mankind today is asking. We also see something else, namely that structure is really bringing forth new structure. That's something terrific, that one begins to realize that once one has really touched on a structure of reality, and the more fundamental that structure of reality is, the more structure brings forth new structures. So that it is really the seed within itself. It isn't so that mankind, the human mind, human thinking, has to think out new structures. But the moment we really touch on the fundamental structure, we can be quite sure that in contemplating those fundamental structure and keeping them in consciousness and pondering them and loving them and getting really at one with them, identifying ourselves with them, that they have within themselves the ability to bring forth higher orders, more classified, categorized structures. Now this is a great thing, because if one wants to be creative in any field of science, just as we feel in the science of being, we have the right to be creative insofar as that we see that every age has its own answers to its own questions, that every age has a right for further revelation. We should really see from where such revelation comes. Mrs. Eddy fundamentally says that science reveals. Whenever she uses that verb, reveals, she pins it down to science. And so we can see and have seen in the course of the last 20, 30 years, we have seen over and over that contemplating that what we had in regard to fundamental systems of being, that if we imbibe those and understand those, that they themselves bring forth at an unexpected time a new vision. And that new vision may come up even without that we notice it at the very moment it comes up. Sometimes only looking back over 6 months or even over years, we can spot when that new light has broken into consciousness, when the first seed has been sown.